Hey, today we have a maimer that was delivered by our Rebbe on Shabbos Parshas Devarim with Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat of Vision, as is this year. Only this year, that's actually on Tisha B'Av, and that year it happened to be the fourth day of Menachem Av. The year was Tavshim Mem Beis, which equals 1982. Tzien b'mishpati pade. The maimer opens with the closing verse of the Haftorah. Isaiah, Prophet Yeshayo says, in closing, despite all the doom and the gloom, despite the very, very dreary vision of death and destruction that he foresaw, that in the end, Tzion, b'mishpat, with the ordinances of Torah, would be redeemed, tipada v'shoveha, and she would return b'tzedaka, with righteousness. So we have these precise analyses from our Rabbeim, from the Alter Rebbe, Eir HaTeira, from the Tzemach Tzedek, v'chulu, etc. The Pasuk Zeh Nikru Yisrael b'shem Tzion Dafke, that here in this verse, the Jewish people are called Tzion, which is a rarity. Now the truth is, we're not going to be able to get to the answer to this question this morning, I don't think. So I'm not going to elaborate on this, but we're going to move on right away to the next point of the Maimer, and that is Shemoyin Kan Bezin Yonim, that there are two different ideas that seem to be talked about over here, and they're different. Different nouns, different verbs, and as the Maimer will explain, different folks and different strokes. So we have, number one, Tzion, which is euphemistically referring to the Jewish people, b'mishpat tipada, with law will be redeemed. The word tipada is a verb. The verb is modifies the word pedia or poda, that which is redeemed. So tipada, the Tzion, the Jewish people called Zion, will be redeemed b'mishpat, with laws, with justice. With justice will be redeemed. So that's one idea. Beis, the second idea is v'shoveha, and she'll return, or her return will be engendered b'tzedakah via righteousness, or what the world typically calls charity. V'tzarech lahavin, we have to understand mahu teichen the beis devarim ha'elu. We talk about a return, and we talk about a redemption. The redemption is connected to justice, or rules, and the return seems to be linked to tzedakah. And the question may rightly be asked, what's the difference between the two? Why the first time around we talk about justice, and the second time around we talk about the concept of return? And the first time around we're talking about, pardon me, we're talking about redemption or return, and in the beginning we talk about justice, the mishpat, and the second time we're talking about tzedakah, righteousness, or charity. So, v'hine. Echad habiyurim bazeh. One of the explanations in this is as follows. I made big copies so everybody can be able to see.
And hang on the wall afterwards.
That's fine. You hang it wherever you want. But the main thing is to follow along inside. So one of the biyurim in this is that Tzion b'mishpati padeh, Zion will be redeemed through justice. Koi, this refers or alludes to avodas hatzadikim. Because after all of the Jewish people went into galus. Not just the wicked people, all the people, the righteous people, the good people, the people who forgot to behave good, the people who dropped the ball. Everybody went to galus. The entire nation went to galus. But there seems to be a difference in how different folks will swim their way home. The different strokes for different folks, there'll be different kinds of people. So there's the Aveda of Tzadikim. And tzaddikim, they will be redeemed b'mishpat. Why is tzion b'mishpat ipada? Why is b'mishpat ipada? Why would that refer to tzaddikim? Sheheim, that tzaddikim, holy righteous individuals, holchem b'derech hayosher. They walk the straight path, the path of righteousness. As it says, v'shamru derech Hashem. This is a pasuk that's found in the very beginning of the Torah. It describes the efforts of Avraham Avinu, who is certainly a tzaddik. And Hashem tells Avraham Avinu that the reason that he's impressed with him and with his family is because V'shamru, they keep derech Hashem, the way of God. And in what way did they keep the way of God? Lasais tzedakah u'mishpat. They're doing tzedakah and justice. So even though it says the word tzedakah here too, but here the emphasis is going to be on the mishpat. And what does it mean that it's tzedakah u'mishpat? Haynu shekol ma'aseihem him al pi mishpat ha-Torah, that everything is by the rule of law, of the Torah's law. U'belashon ha-yedua, in the euphemistic expression, which is well known in Hasidic circles, shachai atzadik, that the life of a tzaddik, heim chayim shel teira, it's a teira life. In Yiddish, they put in a teira leben, a Torah life. A tzaddik's life is a Torah life. A Torah life means a life by the rules. A tzaddik does what he's supposed to do. He follows the good book. V'yesh leimer. The Rebbe adds now something to this. She pirush ze kosher gam im pirush ha-pasha de mishpat haynu teira. So here we seem to be talking about mishpat as rules. There's a straight and narrow. That's mishpat. Mishpat is like, this is the way it has to be. So following the rule book, doing everything according to law, living a lawful life, that's the life of a tzaddik. Tzaddik lives lawfully. He follows the law. The Rebbe says that there is another emphasis, another meaning of the word mishpat, not so much law or justice, which represents the law, but rather it represents the concept of Torah. Mishpat also means Torah, because Torah is comprised of laws, but mishpat means Torah. So how would that relate to Torah if it means Torah? The Rebbe says this could be seen through the prism of the interpretation of the Torah that was penned by Uncleus. Achilles, the great convert who took upon himself to translate, to render the Torah into the language of the day, which is known as Aramaic. So there's a pasuk in the Torah in which we hear about Joseph, who interprets the dreams of the butler and the baker. And then he tells them, this is what I see from the dream. He says, one of you is going to have his head lifted, but the body will stay down. It's not going to look very good. They don't have a good view of your future. And the other one, he says, and for the butler, for the person who served the wine, he says, you will be restored kemishpat harishon, to your original position. And that's the verbiage that he uses, kemishpat harishon. And guess how Uncleus renders it. He says, kehilchasa kadmaisa, like the original halacha. In other words, the original rule or status or position is framed or turned the word halacha. Now we all know the word halacha means what?
Halacha.
Torah law, halacha. So hilchasa kadmaisa, mishpat, he renders the idea of mishpat harishon as hilchasa kadmaisa. Hainu, and for our purposes, what would that allude to? Hainu kahalacha is ha-teira, the halachas of teira. And that is to say, ki ha-tzadik oved b'chol maisav, the tzadik does in all of the things that he's involved in. The service, his life of service, is a life of Torah and mitzvahs. But specifically, the tzadik is not just a person who studies Torah and does mitzvahs, but does so al pi ha-halachas shebetorah. He does it on God's terms, not on his terms. So there are oftentimes people who want to be righteous. They want to be spiritual. So they'll tell God what's spiritual. They'll tell God what's righteous. They'll lecture to God after they created him in their own image. They'll basically worship themselves. And they'll do good things that they believe are good, or in the way they feel comfortable doing them, in what resonates or makes sense to them. That's not a tzaddik. What is a tzaddik? The tzaddik is a person who epitomizes the notion of nasa v'nishma. And when the Jewish people want to get the Torah, the first thing they say is, we will obey, we will do, we'll try our best to understand and appreciate it too. But the first thing, the primary rubric of it all, the foundation, is obedience. And the obedience is done how? What is the halacha? That's what a tzaddik wants to know. What's the halacha? Tell me what the halacha is. When the Rebbetzin was in Stalik, so the Rebbe, it's a long story, but the Rebbe was in front of the house waiting for him to bring the body back. And the Rebbe said, bring me a kitzur shulchan aruch and zog me vasatan. bring me the concise code of Jewish law and tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. And the tzaddik wants to just do everything al pi Torah. What happened? He lost his whole life when melted down. And that one person in the world he could talk to. Right? The loneliness, the aloneness. So one thing. Just bring me a kitzur shulchan aruch, tell me what to do. This is how a tzaddik lives his life. A tzaddik lives his life. What does the Torah say? What's the halacha? And whatever the halacha is, that's what I have to do. End of story. Sha'arei gam mitzvahs limud ha-Torah. You're going to say, well, halachas are relevant for mitzvahs. You have to do the mitzvah. The esrog has to be held this way, and the matzah has to be eaten that way. But the Rebbe points out that even the mitzvahs of limud ha-Torah, even the mitzvah of learning Torah, he also has to be behesim la-halachas talmud Torah shebashulchan aruch. There's a collection of halachas, and it's called laws of, yeah, you guessed it, laws of learning Torah. There's halachas of how you learn Torah too. And the tzaddik will not only learn Torah, he'll learn Torah the way Torah tells him to learn Torah. But the halacha ordains Torah should be learned. But it's furthermore, that afilu limazeh shebe Torah, she'eni la halacha, that even when he's learning a part of Torah which is not according to the halacha, because we know that not every opinion in the Gemara actually is the halacha. Hainu what's called hashakla v'tarya, the give and take in Torah, the conversation, the discussion of Torah. Even that learning has to be based on the halachic principles of how we're supposed to learn. What does that mean? Well, starting from the very beginning, how do I approach Torah? That Torah has to be approached by hakdamas habitl. Before a Jew starts to study Torah, he shouldn't say, okay, this is what I know. That's what I know to be true. This is what I know to be good. This is what I know the way things are. I know, I'm a very smart guy. What could the Torah teach me? Let me see. Let me see if how the Torah fits into my weltah charm, to my attitude, to my perspective. I'll see how the Torah fits into my world. No, that's not how we learn Torah. How does a Jew learn Torah? A Jew comes to Torah and say, I know what I think. It's probably all wrong. Forget about what I think. This is not about the way I look at it. What does Torah say? What does Hashem say in his Torah? In other words, that's the hakdama. The preface to it all is a sense of bittul. Since I can put myself aside, I'm ready to learn the Torah. What is the Torah telling me? What is the Torah teaching me? Not how I will I fit it into what I know already. And that's halacha. Kimei Shekosov, like it says, and we say this verse on a regular basis at the end of our Shemoneh Esrei of Amidah, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we say, V'nafshi ka'ofer lakol tia. Let my soul be like dust. Dust is the thing that everybody steps on. Let me be like dust. And then, what happened? What's the end of the pasuk? And then through this, psach libi b'torah techa. Then my emotional quotience will be opened, then I'll become available to be able to understand your Torah. In other words, what opens the door, what's the segue into being able to understand, learn, and appreciate the message of Torah with integrity? The concept of bittul, the concept of nullity. Ukamai merazal. This is really not different from another teaching that's found in the Gemara of Masechet Brachot on page 22, that the Gemara then, over there, analyzes what were things like when the Jewish people got the Torah. Well, we know there was lightning and there was thunder and they were in a state of awe and reverence and they were trembling and they were overwhelmed. So the Gemara comes along and says, very good. So Mala Halon, just like over there, was be'ema, or be'yire, was it reverence, it was with awe, with a deep sense of respect. Respect is not, here's what I think, here's what I know. That's not respect. Respect means I am ready to respect what's being told to me. I'm ready to put myself aside because I recognize it's something that's far greater, something that's far more important than far more prominent. That means respect. So that's how the Jewish people stood in front of Har Sinai. And this is the way a Jew has to study Torah, that just as when we received the Torah, we weren't standing there with our arms crossed and saying, okay, God, what do you have to say today? But instead, we stood there in a state of absolute nullity. Afkan, so it is here. You sit down or you stand and you open a book of Torah and you want to look deeply inside it and see what is the Torah saying. Then it has to be be'emo, ube'yira. A Jew has to approach this Torah with a sense of awe and a sense of reverence and a sense of humility and a sense of commitment and devotion. The haino, that is to say, the klolos inyan mishpat, the notion of rules, ordinances, the justice that accompanies Torah, koyal limud ha-Torah, u'pratiyas, koyal aveda ha-Torah mitzvahs b'chlal. Broadly speaking, mishpat refers to Torah, because Torah has a system. It has a book, a rule book. It has the way it should be done. Here's how you should study Torah. Here's the methodology, the approach. And this is true about Torah, but it's true about all of Yiddishkeit. Torah and mitzvahs. The study of God's word and the fulfillment of God's word. Now, the Maimer goes on, the Rebbe goes on to say, so that's the meaning of the opening statement over here. Tzion, meaning the Jewish people, b'mishpati padeh. How will they be redeemed? You'd be redeemed when you do the right thing. You'd be redeemed when you study Torah. How should I study Torah? Lawfully, like it says in the good book, with a sense of bittul, with a sense of reverence, with a sense of awe, whether you're learning the halacha part of Torah or the discussion part of Torah. I study the Torah with a sense of deep humility, and that's the first way we can achieve redemption. That's next. Now comes different folks, have different strokes. Now we go, v'shaveha, and the return will be affected b'tzedakah through the concept of righteousness, or literally, charity. This koi, this refers al avodas ba'alei tshuva. Obviously, everybody's got to come home to Hashem. We're not saying tzaddikim and rishayim. If Mashiach's coming, we're going to have to shake off the dust and do the right thing. But some people always lived right. They always did the right thing. So if you do the right thing, then doing the right thing, that's the segue. That's the path. That's the key that opens the door. What if you didn't always do the right thing? How do you get the gates to swing open? The answer is you do tshuva. Enter the code. The code is balei tshuva. The tevis v'shaveha b'tzedakah, the word affecting return through tzedakah, actually has beis pirushim. Actually, there's two ways to understand it. It includes two different meanings. Aleph, the first, is milshain shiva. V'shaveh comes from the terminology of shiva. What does shiva mean? Return. Return. Lashuv, to return. Chazar, that's the idea of tshuva. What is tshuva? Tshuva is when you have ways on, and you made the wrong turn, and now you're on the wrong way. And what does ways tell you? Make a U-turn. Make a U-turn.
Recalculate
and then make a U-turn. Turn around. So you have to go back where you came from. You're going the wrong way. I told you when I was in 770, there was once a Chinese fellow who pulled up in front and he said, which way to Manhattan? And my friend said, the way you're going, about 6,000 miles.
What about Brooklyn?
He was in Brooklyn, but heading the wrong way. So this is the idea of tshuva. Tshuva means to return, to go back. So hainu v'shaveh, hainu kamoi v'shaveh. What does it mean v'shaveh then? The idea of shaveh is return. Okay. Upidu shabeis, the second way of understanding this is that v'shaveh ha means not her return, but her captives, her captivity. Miloshen shviya, from the terminology of captivity, which this is a word that encapsulates essentially galut, the idea of exile. Hainu v'shaveha, that her return should be read as her captives, kamoi v'shvuyeha, like her captives. So how do those in captivity, those who are exiled, those who are distanced or displaced from their natural or organic source, how do they come home? This is the idea of tshuva. Tshuva is not only to return, to make a U-turn, but rather the idea of tshuva means to extract or to redeem, to bring home the lost sparks. And this is to say that everything we do in life is more than meets the eye. There's the superficial reality that we see, and then there's what's behind that facade. When a Jew learns Torah and does mitzvahs, he or she is necessarily extracting sparks of godliness and holiness. And he's sending them home. You're returning it to its source. This is the Lurianic idea, that there is life in everything, vitality in everything. Al-Rizal called it a neshama, a soul in everything. In fact, Al-Rizal was able to communicate with everything. He could connect with the godliness that resonated in everything. And it's metaphorized as a soul. It doesn't mean a soul, a person has a neshama, but there's a divine element in everything. So when you use the divine element, when you use whatever object it is, or whatever detail it is from the strata of existence for a holy and a correct purpose, what happens is you release the sparks of godliness that are trapped there, and it returns, it restores, is restored to its source. And this is what the Arizal called tikkun olam, the rectification of the world, which means necessarily to live your life the way the Torah wants it. You live a Torah life, you're redeeming, or you're releasing sparks that are trapped in all kinds of strange reality. Then what happens if you do an aveda? Not only don't do the right thing, you do the wrong thing. You do the wrong thing. So you utilize whatever material it is, not only you're not doing an act of homage and service to God, you're using this in a way to express and further rebellion against God. You take the leather and you don't make it turn into tefillin or a mezuzah. Instead, you turn that leather into a whip with which you harm somebody else, that you cause pain to somebody else. That's terrible. What happens to the sparks of godliness that are in that leather, that are in that wood, that are in that metal? You bring them lower. They used to be in a state of, well, not yet good. Okay, not yet good means all you need to do is redirect. You made it now bad. You turned it into something which is evil or bad. Now what happens? Oh, now you have a little job, my friend. Your job is to go back in time. This is like the only time machine that's actually true. You can actually go back in time like a commando mission. You gotta go back to get those sparks. You gotta go back to pick up who you lost. How do you do that? That's what tshuva is. That's why tshuva is called a meifes. It's a miracle. What does it mean? How could I undo the past? The past is the past. I can never go back there. You actually could. When you do tshuva, you're going back to redeem the sparks that you yourself sent into exile. When you do an aveda, you are the source, you're the cause, you're the catalyst of exile. You're exiling godliness. When you do tshuva, you're redeeming those sparks. You're taking those sparks that are trapped in klipa and you're bringing them back. So this is the notion of captivity. And therefore the meaning is that when the sparks that fell below that now have to be redeemed or returned from captivity. And how does that happen? Vishaveha. How do you affect the return or the release of those in captivity? It happens like the maisa tzedakah. It happens through the act of tzedakah. The Rebbe points out something here which is explained in many places in Chassidus, that maisa hu lashon kfiya ubitl. When we talk about the word maisa, action, it means to force yourself. Force yourself. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come easily. The word maisa is connected to the idea of mas in alat tzedakas, which means that people are forced to give tzedakah. They may not want to. The tax is levied. If you live in this place and you have so much and so much affluence or wealth, you must do this. It's mandatory. So the word maisa, which means action, also is related to the terminology of kfiya, forcing an action, something which is mandatory, something which requires bittul. We don't care how you feel about it. It's irrelevant. Here's what has to be done. The inyan akfiya hu ba'avodas ba'alei tshuva. When it comes to forcing something, the forcing is necessary when you're dealing with a ba'al tshuva. And that is because the tzaddik does not have to force himself. You know why? Because it comes naturally. The tzaddik has to force himself. You ever hear that story? This beggar was in Forest Hill. This fancy lady gets out of her swank new Mercedes, and the guy says, "Lady, I haven't eaten in 3 days." She says, "Force yourself." Most people have to force themselves to eat. You're hungry enough, you eat. No problem. What happens? A person has to force themselves to eat. They're not in a healthy situation. They're not good. Things aren't good. If a person is healthy in a spiritual way, it comes naturally. You have to force yourself to a mitzvah. In fact, the tzaddik is a person who accustoms his material reality to do what Hashem wants. There's many stories of tzaddikim doing the right thing naturally. The story of the Ruzhna Rebbe was smoking a pipe till the moment before Shabbos, and the person's watching him and he sees the sun going down behind him, and the moment the sun goes down, the pipe falls out of his mouth and his whole face changes. He didn't have to force himself to stop. It just happened. The story of Rebbe Hillel Paracha was, the Gemara says you shouldn't ride a wagon or cross a bridge. And he fell asleep, but he's sleeping in this wagon, and the second they come to the bridge, suddenly his body wakes up. He just knows he has to wake up. He knows he has to do the right thing. So the tzaddik, for the tzaddik, it's natural. For the tzaddik, it's organic. For the tzaddik, it flows. But for the Baal Tshuva, it's not like that. The Baal Tshuva is the person, Shehu Chata, that he sinned. Upogam va'avaras haderech. He soiled, besmirched, and he went off the road, went off the rails. And he had to force him. It's not an easy fit. It doesn't happen naturally. His new habitat, his new natural, is not the natural of Torah. The dafka baal tshuva tzarech inyina tzedakah. It's the baal tshuva who needs tzedakah. Tzedakah, which means maise, which means forcing. Where it comes under duress, and it comes through emphasis. It doesn't come in an easy and natural way. Because the baal tshuva is a person who sinned, because a person who caused blemish, now he needs God's tzedakah. God's tzedakah? Oh yeah. We say, L'cha Hashem ha-tzedakah. Hashem is charitable, is kind. What is the charity of Hashem? God should say, okay, forget it, it's okay. That requires largesse of spirit. That requires nobility of spirit. You did the wrong thing, you say, okay, it's fine. We'll forgive that. Forget about that. They tell a story. A guy once came to his friend. His friend said, you owe me $5,000. He said, can't you do a mitzvah and just forgive the loan? He says, are you kidding? It's $5,000. He says, okay, so forgive $10 a day. Right? You ask Hashem, Rabbeinu Shlomo, I did all these things. Just forget about it. Forget it. I'm doing tshuva. You ask Hashem for tzedakah. I'm asking you to forgive and forget. That's an act of tzedakah. That's the chasham at tzedakah, k'dei sheyisachlei. U'mishum zeh tzarech sh'avedasei. You want God's tzedakah? Guess what you have to do? Then you have to give tzedakah. When you live with a noble spirit, when you live with generosity, when you live in a manner which is forbearing and say, it's fine, here, enjoy, and you're able to forgive and forget, then you can expect the same from Hashem. Because our behavior necessarily engenders and brings forth and elicits that kind of response. As we say, midas yesh l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the measure of Hashem is mida k'neged mida. Hashem responds in like fashion, a measure for a measure. Ma hu rachum, af atarachum. God is merciful, you should be merciful. It goes the other way around too. God is compassionate, we should be compassionate. When we are compassionate, we bring forth that compassion from God towards us. When we behave charitably, we bring forth charitable response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, bottom line, different folks and different strokes. The tzaddikim, how do they affect the concept of redemption? How do they bring about the coming of Mashiach? The answer is, just do the right thing. B'mishpat. Follow the law. Living a life by the rule book. And what about the Baalei Tshuva? Well, they have to give tzedakah. Because they're waiting for Hashem's tzedakah. So when you want to redeem those captives and those sparks, when you'll redeem the sparks that you sent into exile, then Hashem will redeem you who was sent into exile. Your tzedakah brings forth Hashem's tzedakah. And that's why Yeshayahu HaNavi says, Tziyim b'mishpat yipada, b'shaveh b'tzedakah. What did we not answer yet? We still didn't answer why we're called Tzion. Isn't Tzion a place? Isn't it a city? Isn't it a mountain? Isn't it a building and a compound? The answer is yes. So why are we called Tzion? Unfortunately, we're out of time. So at least you got the opening part of the Maimer. You know about the different folks and different strokes. And the next thing, of course, is the marked or distinctive geography that becomes the euphemism for the Jewish people in identifying this entire process. The main thing is that should be Tzion b'mishpat tipada, b'shaveh v'tzedakah. We who's called Tzion should be reunited in Tzion, which is the third Beis HaMikdash. B'mheira u'b'yameinu amen. Shabbat shalom v'chabbos. It's called the Shabbos of Vision. So we're all going to have the privilege of seeing a vision of the future. And this should inspire us to live in a more holy way. And we should be zeichet to the fulfillment of all the good things. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. See you all in the third Beis HaMikdash. Shabbos. Amen.